Music Academy.
Just rapid fire. Just came from like just a moment with a friend.
Yeah, I mean, I teach people how to do things super fast. Like my whole method is all about getting shit done fast. So that's why that's kind of where the name kind of came from.
I got you. So kind of like quick and simple, you know, like no bullshit, like get straight to the point. Like, here's how to do it. You know, these are the steps that I have seen that work the best. Like, is there any process that goes into it? Because again, like I'm dealing with an artist over here. You're a person that has an artistic mind.
Yeah.
So there's got to be like some structure, creativity that comes with it.
Yeah. So you want to know how the structure goes? I mean, I can break it down really simple. Like,
obviously, if you want to, sure.
Yeah. So first thing you have to do is gear up. I mean, getting your mindset right is the number one most important thing. People, even for anybody at any level, whether you're Joe Blow broke on the street or you're fucking Michael Jordan, you have to get your mindset right all the time. So that's the first thing we do. And then it's like hardware, software. Like, you literally only need a fucking computer and your fucking keyboard, like this keyboard. You don't need a fucking MIDI keyboard. You don't need it. So getting rid of that limiting belief people have of like, oh, I need to get more gear. I need to get an MPC. I need to get, it's like, shut the fuck up, get a computer and get some fucking headphones and let's get a mic because you want to record and that's all you need. So there's that. And then the software, there's softwares you're going to need. And then we go melody, drum and bass, arrangement, pre-mix the beat, vocal recording, mixing, mastering. It's fucking dialed in. So yeah, we do shit fast and we get it done.
It's honestly, I can say from my own personal experience, I do exactly that.
Okay, there we go.
So I literally just have a keyboard and this. There's a light behind me, a camera, and then this microphone, like, and the headphone. Like, that's it. That's my entire studio. And like, this thing here is from IKEA. So to help balance out sound, because it has like equal squares, $115, $120. Oh. Like, there you go. So I hate that. I hate that mentality. Like, oh, if you're going to make it, like, you know, you're going to need this and that. Like, dude, it's fucking 2023, bro.
That's 24.
Almost 24. Like, today, like now, you can do pretty much everything you can think of is in GarageBand, right? You can start from beginning to finish from a song in fucking GarageBand.
I would say, yeah, I would say if you want to dig it to the next level, you'll probably want to go.
Oh, for sure.
I want to go to like a Logic or Ableton or FL.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, generally speaking, you can just start like literally from there, but you're right. Like, you can just build up from there and try out all of these other platforms.
So no, I started on GarageBand when I was a kid, you know what I'm saying? And that got me started. That's where the love of the recording, that's where the love of the tech, right? The tech side of the music got started. Cause at first I was just writing lyrics, but then the tech side, it was GarageBand, right? I was like, oh, let me fuck around with this, with that red button. What's that plus button? That's how I learned it. And then transitioned super smooth to Logic Pro. Cause it's the same thing basically. But in the academy, it actually doesn't matter what DAW you work in. We have clients, and pretty much the main three are Logic, FL Studio, and Ableton.
Okay. I haven't heard of Ableton before. But
Ableton's really good for making beats. It's okay for recording and mixing, but it's very, very good for making beats. It's like the way to go. And then I just like Logic, but doesn't matter. I had a coach, the same coach who helped me get the name. He had really pigeonholed me into thinking I had to only work with people who had Logic. Okay. And that held me back for a while. And then I had a different coach say, fuck that. You don't need that. I'm like, you're right. And I've opened up since then and it's helped.
Yeah. Because like, for example, I use an iPad. I do digital art.
Okay,
but
cool.
There's the logic of why can't I just use like a Wacom, you know, or use something else from another brand, which was probably around the same price range that I paid for this and probably has a lot of other better tools. The reason is practicality wise. Like, Apple has figured out a way of creating software that is comfortable for artists to get familiar with and used to, that becomes like your staple. Like you were saying that guy was like, oh, you can only use Logic because this is the best, again, because of his thinking, you know, because he's probably been using it for a number of years and hasn't tried anything else.
his thing was actually, yeah, no, and you're right. And his thing was more of, because he was more of like, because I didn't know other DAWs.
I see.
So he's like, oh, you can't coach in those DAWs since you don't know them.
Oh, so I see.
So first of all, fuck him. Second of all, guess what I did? I went and one of my best friends, Corey, he's my partner in this. So he's my client success manager. He does Ableton. So I'm like, cool, how about I go get somebody who knows it instead of being fucking limited? You know what I mean? So the guys are in Ableton. I'm like, cool, Corey, you know how to do this Ableton thing? He's like, yep, whoop-de-whoop, does it. And I'm like, great. There goes my fucking limiting beliefs that someone else put on me. Fuck you.
Wow.
Right?
Hey,
you mind if I curse? I've already been cursing.
No! Oh my God, this podcast is supposed to be filthy. No kids allowed. Absolutely not. Unless parental supervision, of course.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
it kind of turns into this just whirlpool of you can't do this, you can't be that. There is this, okay, and I want to get into this because you're a rapper. Mm-hmm. There's this culture where rap is not music. You know, rap is poetry, and people claim it to be music, and therefore it is its own genre in itself. My personal belief is that rap is poetry, but it's music in itself, and it shows the individual side of many artists. Like, the background you're putting into the music, the storyline, the quirkiness, sometimes the weirdness or whatever. But there's like kind of this like divide where I personally kind of like the styles of older rap. That's kind of my thing. I kind of see the craft and the artistic approach. Now it kind of feels like, I feel like this may be a little dangerous with some of the directions that artists have been going.
Yeah, crazy you bring this up. I was at the barbershop today and we were literally talking about this exact thing. Someone asked me, do you think the rap industry is evil or something? And here's what I say, bro. Like, dude, if you choose to dig and find great artists, they're there, obviously. You know,
of course.
One of my best friends, Gabe, his favorite artist is Smino and Saba, right? So if you guys don't know, they're not like huge artists, but they talk about positive things. They're very real. So yeah, maybe you don't like the artists who talk about drugs and all that. And those are the ones who might seem like they're glorified, but it's like, yeah, bro, those aren't the only artists out there. And they're not the only people who are representing the culture, right? There's a really big artist out right now named Rod Wave, who I just went to his concert the other night. He sold out an arena here in the Bay Area. He sold out Oracle Arena, or it's called Oakland Arena, sold it out. And he's like, if you were to take Tupac and make him sing really well, like a soul singer, that's this guy. This guy's like a singing hip hop Tupac in 2023. You know, he's talking about real shit. So it's like, there are artists who are making it big who are giving that real shit.
Right.
And I think people are just super quick to talk shit to things that they don't know a fuck about. You know what I mean?
Well, there's a lot that comes into the rap culture. You know, keep in mind the roots of where rap is. You know, there's gangster rap. You know, you also have old school rap and new school, and there's a few other trap. But it's not only that. Like you mentioned, it's also about the artist. It's what the artist is bringing forward. Because the thing is, as a songwriter, when you're making music, what you're presenting is yourself. Mm. You're presenting your words, your thought, your voice, your sound.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, it's a lot of... And what's also interesting is from where the point I come from, where I make the beats too and mix and master and record, and I teach my clients to do that. That's a whole nother vibe, right? Because now you're like fully, it's you. Like that's one of the biggest reasons I started producing music was I was like, I want when someone plugs me into their ears that every single sound, the world that they are in is me. Because you have collaborators in other ways, which is fine. So for me, it's just like, no, everything you hear from start to finish is me. Every word, every sound, every piano, even the mixing, the quality, it's all me, right? So that's a whole nother thing that I'm putting on that front street of like really putting myself out there, and that my clients, the same thing.
Well, it's an important message because, yes, it's more work. yes, that there are ways of making things more simplistic, but there's something so beautiful when you can craft something yourself.
Super.
When you know where something comes from, you know what it is, you know how you want something to sound. It, you know, this kind of reminds me of, like, there was a clip I was watching on YouTube with Michael Jackson. And I think it was Beat It. Michael Jackson, I think, couldn't play the instruments. So he did the sound and recorded it. And, like, oh my God. He can envision the sound that he wants and then make it. So that's Michael Jackson, right? But anybody can do that. If you're an artist and you put your mind to it and you have that, like you were saying, if you want to create a sound that you want to make, if you know the tools that you need to use and how to go step by step to make that process, you have that skill and ability to do so.
Yeah, I think I might have seen that video too. Like the way he was able to
do it was incredible.
Make the sounds really sound like it was that sound, right? Like
yeah.
With the guitars and the, yeah, and the drums. You know Timbaland, the producer? He did like a lot of Justin Timberlake's work and
okay. Yeah.
He has a thing on the website. There's a website called Masterclass, right? Where you pay like $15 a month and you can watch like Gordon Ramsay teach you how to cook or watch Stephen Curry teach you how to play basketball.
Masterclass.
Yeah. So Timbaland has a Masterclass, right? Which is funny. Like you'd think that why would I be talking about a competitor? But doesn't matter. Timbaland's Masterclass teaching how to produce music is sick because that's what he does. He does the mouth. So he's got his little team of beatmaker producers. He's like, all right, ready? Boom. Right? And he'll do it and snap and do all that. And then the producers, they make it. So I think he must have gotten that probably from Michael Jackson.
Well, I feel everything trickles down from artists. You know, they love to say like, oh, that artist stole from that artist.
Yeah.
But it's not stealing. It's where one artist learned from another artist. And took from that and created something from it, like a beat, you know, the stupid fall of a glass or the way that, I know it sounds stupid, like, you know, rain pattering on a window, right? That patter from the rain on a window. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it like changes its beat or it gets louder or gets lighter. We have that here in Florida because we have psycho rain. Fucking cycle rain. Cycle rain, people, is when it rains and there's no clouds, okay? There's just sun beating down on you and it's just fucking rain. You have no idea where it's coming from. It's just cycle rain.
That's fucking weird. Yeah.
It's very weird. It's Florida. It has That's to crazy. Be weird.
Huh. Well, to back on the...
Oh, yeah, sorry.
The stealing thing. I think it was Picasso who said, good artists copy, great artists steal. So... Yeah, fuck you. I'm going to steal your shit. It's out there. I'm not going to steal it illegally.
You mean no, like
I'm not going to legit like steal a guy's song and do that. Like
no.
I'm
going
to do it within the ramifications of legality. But
right.
For example, we use a tool called Splice. Splice.com. So
mm-hmm.
You know about Splice?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So for those who don't, like it's a website. It's $10 a month. You get access to loops, sounds, drum kits, all that kind of stuff.
And like, fun jazz.
Yeah, it's sick. Honestly, bro, and I don't give a fuck what people think. I don't change the samples very much when I make songs. I download the sample. I'm like, this is lit. That's what I do. And like sometimes I'll pitch it down, but like, or I'll time stretch it. Like I'll make the timing different. And obviously I EQ it and shit, but people are like, yeah, I really want, like, I feel like I have to change the sound. You know, I'm like, I used to feel like that too. But guess what? When my fans... Like Guy Parsons, who's a 12th grader at Los Lomas High School, listens to my music and doesn't know a fucking thing about making a song. He doesn't fucking know where the sample came from. Doesn't give a fuck where the sample came from. When my wife, Erica, listens to my song, when Keith Datu listens to, who the fuck? They don't give a shit. They're like, hey, is this a banger or not, bro? I don't care. And plus, Splice legally says you can do that. You can take the sample and put it with other works and make a song out of it, and you're fine as long as you don't redistribute it as a single sound.
Yeah.
So
I did that with Epidemic Sound.
Okay.
I think I know them. So I made two singles for the American Groove segment and then for Lost in the Groove. So cool. It's just 30 seconds. And I was like, I'm done with having a stupid intro. I want to make this fun. And the cool thing is, like, it's copyright. So YouTube doesn't have to slam me with their stupid bullshit, you know, every five fucking minutes. Oh, you did this wrong. Oh, my God. So it saves me from that hassle, which is great. But, like, I will rather pay that money than fucking deal with a court case. I'm serious.
Totally.
You feel me, like, on this? Like, people are like, it's not going to happen. Trust me. You haven't dealt with musicians or artists. We are very fucked up. We will take you to court.
Yeah, actually, this is actually crazy. Dude, this is weird. Not, I'm like going to say something that'll even maybe go against.
No, it's fine, dude. This is Lost in the Groove, bro. This is where fucked up shit happens.
Yeah. Dude, I'm uploading a YouTube video dropping tomorrow, and it's like, it's a screen share of me making a beat.
Okay.
And I got hit with a copyright thing, super minor. It just says this will not be distributed in Russia and Belarus. I'm like, okay, fine. I don't give a fuck. But I was like, I wonder what happened. I looked into it. One of the samples from Splice is like some Russian song or something, which I almost think is an error, but I'm like, that's fucking weird. Like, I've never seen that happen. You know, like, what the fuck? But I don't care, because the video is not going to get taken down. It's just said won't get distributed. Like, what do you think of that?
I mean, I've heard Russian rap.
And I don't know if it was rap or a fucking folk song. No,
it probably would be for like one of those Siberian, you know about this, you know, in like the Siberian region of Russia, there's quite a few groups of rappers.
Ooh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And their music is interesting. Because it's Russian. Like, I don't understand Russian rap. You know, I don't speak Russian. But it's very in your face, and it's very direct from what I can tell. But that is extremely odd. You know, out of all places in the world, it's Belarus and Russia.
I don't know. But that's as far as I've gone in terms of, like, a copyright thing. Everything else has been fine.
You're lucky, dude. You're lucky. Some people get caught in their light bulb, you know, like that beam of light shining down. They get caught, and then they'll keep on tripping you over. Like, they're not, I'm not trying to, like, scare people with YouTube and stuff like this, but come on, let's be real. There are struggles, like, being as an artist, of, like, work being stolen, or, you know, crossing this line and then possibly screwing over this. You know, there's a lot of red tape sometimes.
For sure. A couple interesting stories. I have a buddy who I follow him on, like, Instagram and TikTok, and we've, like, talked on the phone a couple of times. His name is Chozen, CHZN. He's super dope, makes super dope videos. Like, he's amazing. But he had this thing happen where I guess somebody, like, nabbed one of his beats off YouTube and, like, put it up as a song, and my boy caught him, and my boy's like, hey man, I'm gonna, like, if you don't pull the song down, I'm giving you the shot to pull it down, I'm gonna do, like, a cease and desist, basically. And the guy's like, I don't pay for beats, fuck you, right? So I was like, okay, cool. It's hella easy. You just can easily, like, go to Spotify, go to Apple, and find the song and be like, this song was stolen, copyrighted, blah blah blah. So my boy's about to get his song, that artist's song, taken down because the guy stole the beat.
Jesus.
I mean, the guy stole his beat. He literally stole it. He sold off YouTube, and he didn't pay for it. You know?
He's like, fuck. Oh, you want to hear something? You want to hear something funny? Yeah. I used to have an apparel business before I did this podcast, and I designed a VW camper.
How cool.
And it had like a bunch of, like, funky artwork that was on there. I'm not going to mention names, but a YouTube, like, automotive, like, media company or whatever, they stole my design.
Get the fuck out of here.
They stole my design. They just, like, changed the color and, like, bolded the lines. But, dude, I can show you. It's literally the same van. They just flipped it around and added some other shit. I was like, what the fuck?
That's crazy.
They have like 6 million followers. Like, what are you doing? So I don't know, are like these big media companies just stealing from small artists just because they can?
Likely.
Yeah, bro.
Likely.
It's trippy, man.
Fucking Matrix, dude.
Bro, it's fucked up.
Yeah.
I mean, how long, let me ask you, how long have you been doing this?
Music?
Yeah.
So I just turned 30 on November 20th. Crazy. I feel
you look like you're 25. Maybe.
Thank you.
Maybe 24, 25. Yeah, I'll go 25. Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I eat good. My wife cooks great food for me.
Hey, it's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been doing music, I would say seriously, since I was 17. That's when I was like, hey, I'm going to make music my career. But I started writing songs when I was 14 in high school.
Okay.
So my first ever.
During that craze, you know, when we're like all like.
Totally. Just like hormoned up, fucking hating school, angry, like wanting to fucking blow up the school because I fucking hated everyone. Like,
yeah.
So instead of blowing up the school, I wrote raps. Thank God.
Did not have a
computer or anything. And yeah, I just fucking, I did it ever since. Honestly, when I was 14 was when I was like, I'm writing lyrics. And then transferred to I was at a private school. I went to a Jewish private school because I'm Jewish. Then I went to a public school.
Same.
10th grade. You're Jewish as well?
Uh-huh. Give me one second.
I fucking knew it, bro.
How did you know?
Dave, your face and your accent. I'm like, this guy must be Jewish.
Well, I grew up in New York. I grew up in, I grew up on the other side of the Hudson. I grew up in Rockland County. I'm Sephardic. I'm Moroccan.
Let's fucking go, dude.
Yeah.
That's sick. I'm Ashkenaz, but we fuck with Sephardics a lot.
Okay. All right, cool. Like, I'm like, you know, dude, this is so funny. I love fucking around with, like, especially because we got a lot of people down here, like, for Jamaicans and Haitians. So I had once, I was out with a group of friends and we were just talking and I'm just a piece of shit. I just like said to the guy, I'm like, yo, I'm African. He like looked at me. He's like, dude, what the fuck? Like super racist. I'm like, no, I'm serious. I'm African. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I'm Moroccan. He's like, oh, really? He's like, you are African.
That's hilarious.
I love those moments.
That's it. But
so, I mean, you're Jewish. Okay. So we're getting a little Beastie Boys moment right now. Just a bit. We're missing two members, but I don't know.
So then 15, 16, 17 was when I was kind of like doing music, but not really. I was like putting it away. But then 17 senior year was when I was like, I'm going to really go in on this because I was playing basketball. But I wasn't like super good. I love the game, but I wasn't like really good. So end of high school, I was like, look, I'm probably not going to play college ball. I'm definitely not playing pro. So I want to do something with my life, though. It's not going to be basketball, but, you know, I love this music thing. So I'm going to go in on that. And honestly, bro, yeah, I went to college, got a degree, which means to me nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Means something, but not much. And then
I grew a blue collar. So you're preaching. Keep going.
Yeah, exactly. And I just like, pretty much been taking it seriously as a career. I'd say I'll say this. Sorry, a little tangent, but I was with one of my best friends, my best friend last night, Gabe. He's been with me since we were 14.
Wow. That's a long time.
Yes. Yeah. He's my boy. And we were talking about how long my journey was. I was like, yeah, bro, it's been 13 years, you know? And he's like, yeah, but when did you really like go all in on this? I was like, what do you mean? I've been all in since I was 17. He's like, not really, dude. You were like going to college, you know? You were when you finished college, he told me, he's like, I argue that when you finish college is when you really went all in. I was like, okay, that's interesting. So I would say then like I graduated, I was 20. So 7 years. 7 years was like I graduated college and I was like, music. Because I didn't have school, right?
Right.
So that was really like, that was when I was producing, making beats, mixing, mastering, like when I started that journey and started like learning the biz and learning ads and learning like all the business marketing shit. And like trying to put that shit together and build something.
You know, shut that in your brain, you know?
Like, yeah, exactly. Like I had all this in here and I had to get it out to the world. So it's an up and down journey, but I always tell people 17 was when I started.
Nice. I mean, I feel as an artist, we all have that point where we start, but yet it develops until it becomes like an actual thing.
Yeah.
Like, I can say that I started being an artist at 16, but I didn't start actually like doing it, you know, like podcasting and all of it until like 2021. Mm. So there is this idea of fast, quick, you know, get it now, you know, a minute. I feel that it's so unrealistic.
It's not, you know, real. It is fake. It's a farce. I know it is a farce because I'm there in the world. I'm in the world with the online business owners who say those things. I'm in there. I've seen them. I've met some of them. It's a farce. It's not true. It's like most people, like, they'll make a certain, yeah, like, dude, I'm just, yeah, it's just fucking fake, man. Like, I've seen that shit happen. I've seen it happen, and I'm like, no, dude, you're fucking lying, you know? Like, they'll do $80,000 once in a month, and they'll be like, I have a $1 million business. I'm like, no, you don't. You did 80K once, bro. You have a $1 million run rate. That means you can make $1 million. It's awesome. But to say you've done $80,000 once in a month and then go off and say you have a $1 million business, that's a lie. And I've seen people do that shit, and it's crazy. And yeah, just all over. And it's like, bro, you literally, like, I know people have got 1 million followers on Instagram, and it's like there's bots up in there. There's tons of bots in there, right? They went and got those bots in there. It's just fake. Or they'll do those dumbass shout out competitions. I don't know if you've ever seen celebrities fucking, they like, hey, David Dobrik did one. I'm giving away a Tesla. You just have to follow these people. And it's like 30 motherfuckers. And you're like, okay, I'll go follow them. Those people who he's telling you to follow, they pay for that shit. It's fucking fake. So all the followers, like all you guys, if, you know, whoever's listening, don't ever fucking compare yourself to motherfuckers you think are doing shit, because I've been there and seen that shit, and they're fucking fakers, bro. Like, they're not real. So this shit takes a fucking long time, man. Like, it takes a long ass time.
It does. And there's also the attitude of, you know, back in the day. I love that. You know, back in the day. My understanding is, like, think about it like this. Back in the day, Janis Joplin was so depressed and deprived of love and compassion that she had to hide her sexuality to the point that led her to fucking kill, like, literally die. Mm-hmm. Die of a heroin addiction. That is back in the day. Okay? You know, all this jolly... That's back in the day. Here's the reality is, yes, artists need to be kept healthy. Yes, it's important to keep a balanced life. You know, be able to be creative and also be able to keep yourself financially stable. That is something that's very important.
Huge.
But I found that when I lived with a corporate job and trying to live a creative lifestyle, it didn't work. It created like a mental strain that I'm still recovering from, to like now where I work and restaurant. So I have those like two creative avenues to keep myself balanced. So I have a way of now keeping myself financially stable. And I have this creative and project that I'm working on, you know, and just again, like I feel it takes time, but when you create those balances, you create yourself a healthy lifestyle. You don't burn yourself out. You don't feel depressed and deprived and underappreciated.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, it's very fucking difficult. And I think the, you know, okay. So
break it down for me.
Yeah, the big house. You could tell I was like, my gears are fucking going.
I can feel it, man.
That's awesome. So I think the biggest error that I think artists specifically, but definitely creatives in general, musicians for sure, the biggest error they make is you're not building a business. So that right there, what I just said is literally the gem and the key. Are you building a business? Because if you start thinking of yourself like that, you start being like, okay, well then what should I do? But most of us, I mean, I know when I was younger, we weren't thinking that way. I wasn't thinking that way. I was like, I'm just trying to get my music off. and I'm trying to get streams and plays and views and just like, I just would say words like grow a fan base, which it's just a fugazi. That doesn't mean anything. What do you mean grow a fan base? To do what? Right? Where do you get these numbers from? Why are they important? And when you grow a business, like what's the purpose of a business? Fucking make money, like generate revenue, sales. That's a business. Okay. So if you want to live off your music, which I'm doing, it's like you have to build a fucking business where there's money involved, where you make money. And when you start like the point A to B for me, I was like, well, why am I doing Spotify then? That doesn't make money. And no. you can't retarget people. You can't get their email address. You can't talk to them again. You can't sell them products. When you have a show, how are they going to know just by listening to you on Spotify that you have a show? They don't. So what are we doing here? What are we really making? Right? That's the reason that artists burn out right there, because they don't ever think like a business. They don't make money. They have to go do things they hate. Like I had all these fucking side hustles, and they still go back to their music and should keep doing the same shit. It's like, hey, brother, you got to make a business out of this, man.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of like, I was listening to a podcast called No Dogs in Space, and they were talking about the Ramones. The Ramones, like, honestly, in my personal opinion, were the most successful punk band because they treated it like a business from start to finish. It's like each concert, they had a manager, they all worked together, they all split the pay. There was an understanding of, like, where are we going? Why are we doing this? How are we traveling? And they broke that down, like, through, like, six episodes. And you're right. It's that type of attitude that leads to success. It's the idea of if you want to be a successful artist, being a celebrity is not a solution. It's a revelation.
Yeah, I love that. It helps, though, to like get the brand out there, right?
That's why I'm doing
podcasts like this, and it's important. But yeah, dude, I mean, I have tons of friends. Dude, I make videos about this all the time. Like, I always like to go the route A and B, the 99% versus the 1% of artists. Why do 99% of artists fucking fail, and why do only 1% end up making enough money to pay their bills? It's this differentiation we're talking about. It's, do you treat yourself like a business? Are you even building a business? And I'm not talking about, yeah, I need to go get my LLC. Shut the fuck up. No, you don't. Go sell something, motherfucker. It's called Venmo. Hey, here's my CD, $9. You got Venmo? Now you got a business.
Remember those days, dude? Back in the trunk?
I used to do that shit. That's how I fucking started, bro. When I started, Instagram was like just coming up. People were like, hey, do you have an Instagram account? That's when I fucking started. And the good old days, right? No. I was fucking trapped throwing CDs out, like selling them, giving them away. Like, yeah, I had hard copies and shit. So it's like you always have to have that business mindset from the jump, honestly.
I know. It's so funny because, like, just the jump in the past 15 years, you know?
Bro, I totally agree with you.
Oh, my God. It's nuts, bro. Do you remember the day? Like, okay, just for, like, some people that don't remember this, there was a time where if we wanted to get music, we had iPods, okay? Or we had MP3 players. Like, that's how you got music. Or if you were someone that didn't have the money, you had a CD player.
I had a CD player. I had CD players because they were before the iPod. How old are you?
I am 24, but I had a tape recorder when I was a kid.
Shit, that's dope. So you're 24? I mean, we're not that much young, but even the 6 years, it's like...
Well, keep in mind, like, I was born in 99, and I have this conversation all the time with people. Like, people born from, like, 96 to 99, we're, like, a generation in ourselves. We grew up, like, literally... The early 2000s, to be honest, was the 90s. Okay? It was the 90s.
100%. It was still
plain and simple. I wore freaking overalls, okay, and listened to Blue's Clues when I was a kid and Playhouse Disney. All right? Like, that was my childhood. So putting that into, like, perspective, and then, like, to now, you're talking about, like, what, 20 years? Not even? Everything has changed. Like, think about podcasts. Like, 15 years ago, okay, you got Joe Rogan and Tim Curry. Sorry, Adam Curry. Sorry, Adam Curry.
What's the fucking guy? Hold on, though. God damn it.
There's another one that was...
Howard Stern.
Howard Stern was the other one, yeah.
He's like the father of podcasting, the godfather.
Pretty much. Yeah, like, but look at now. And
he doesn't even have a podcast, actually. He would be actually insulted if he heard us say that. He has a radio show.
Please.
You know what I mean?
Please. Fuck him.
Yeah.
Fuck him.
Fuck him.
Fuck him. He's gone woke, people, all right? He's gone.
Howard Stern went woke?
He went woke quite a while ago. You didn't know this?
No, I don't follow that shit. How do I know?
No, I don't follow that shit either, honey. I heard this on the Joe Rogan podcast.
Joe Rogan didn't go woke, though.
No. I don't know what direction he's going, but that's a story for another time.
He ain't going woke. But yeah, you're right. You're right. You got me thinking about, those last. Yeah, I mean, we did go through quite an evolution. I mean, just to even think like kids, right? So I have a cousin who's, she's going to turn 18. So when she was born, it was like Instagram, Facebook, I think Snapchat. Or maybe not Snapchat. Like when she got a phone, when I had a phone, my first phone was a Moto Razr.
Mine first one was a Nokia 6610.
Oh, that's fucking sick, dude. Snake.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right? Like Snake was the shit.
And but I had Tetris.
Oh, hell yeah. There we go. Yeah, but like, yeah, the kids are born. When they get their phones, it's like Facebook is actually dead. Some dinosaur shit. Like they're not even fucking with that. So it's like Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, bro. Like, I'm like, damn, bro.
I never fuck with Snapchat. I remember in high school, because like Snapchat came out like in 2012, and I just couldn't fuck with that shit, bro. I tried.
Me too.
I've tried since it's come out. They can't do it.
Yeah, they fucked up a little. I mean, I was with a kid that I have a couple kids I train for basketball. So mm-hmm. I was with this kid and his dad and I are hella good friends. He's 13. Fuck, he's Snapchatting heavy. So I'm like, okay, they didn't totally fuck up, right? Because the kids are fucking with Snapchat heavy. Kids don't text. They Snapchat. Do you get what I mean? They don't use iMessage to text each other. They send each other pics to text. So.
Well, generations have changed.
Yeah, they don't do like, they FaceTime, but they don't do like texting. They Snapchat. So Snapchat caught it there, but you know, when they had the chance to get bought out, I don't remember what year that was, but Facebook was going to buy them for like a few bill.
I think it was 2015 or 2016. I think it was 2015.
Yeah. I think it was a 2 billion or 2.4 or something. And they said no, but it was like, okay, we're going to do this thing called Instagram stories.
And that failed too.
But they killed them. They just killed stories. They killed Snapchat. And it's like, all right, should have gotten bought, but. Yeah, the times have changed a lot. Times are continuing to change, and there's new shit happening all the fucking time. Now we got the AI thing happening.
Oh my god,
it's amazing.
I kind of like it sometimes. Well, because I love Star Trek, and I would just love to live in a world where I can just say computer, coffee, dark.
Totally. Yeah, that should be tight too. You know, it's funny. Like so with music creation, there's tons of AI coming out for music producing.
Oh, really?
Oh my god, ridiculous. Dude, okay. Amazing. There's an amazing video, this YouTuber. He's very small, but he claims he's making like 10K a month off streaming. Faceless. What he does is he found a website, and I found it, and it makes you a whole track. You pick the genre, the key, the BPM. It will make you a song and gives you the little stems, piano beat and everything. You download them. So what he does, he's like, I just go really, really hard and I make artists and I make multiple artists and I make lo-fi and I go on leonardo.ai to make my cover art. So I use this AI thing to make the song. I don't remember the name of it. I edit it a little. Then I go make the cover art. I upload it to DistroKid, which is how you get your music on Spotify and Apple. And I own a label and I make like, he's like, I have like 10 artists that are all me, that are all different. And I make songs for all of them. And I put out a new song every week for 10 different artists. And we get playlisted all the time. We get on lo-fi playlists. He ends up making a fuck ton of money. I'm like, holy shit, dude. This guy made a whole record label AI. And he's like, it's so sick.
I hope Patrick Stewart is very proud of himself.
Who's Patrick Stewart?
He plays Picard. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit of a Trekkie. He plays Picard in Next Generation.
Dude, don't know anything you just said. Break it down.
He's a captain of a ship, a spacecraft. So
okay.
Star Trek is kind of like, imagine what the future would look like in 2,000 years from now. So their idea is we develop warp drives and we create the Federation.
Okay.
So we go through the universe and we explore.
Oh, yeah. I've seen Star Trek.
Yeah. So it's one of the captains of one of those ships, but it's just, it's like one of those type of like shows where I sit there and I don't understand a thing that's going on, and that's good. Because I don't like want to...
That's like Rick and Morty for me.
I don't think anybody understands Rick and Morty. Like, none of it makes any sense. None of it.
I've watched Rick and Morty, and sometimes, like, when I watch TV, I fucking have my phone. It's so stupid. And, like, I'll be fucking on Instagram, and then, like, I'll look up, and I'll be like, what the fuck is going on at Rick and Morty? It's been, like, 5 minutes. I don't know what's happening now. And I have to, like, rewind and be like, dude, I got to put my phone away. I don't know what happened.
It's nuts. And the crazy part about, like, Rick and Morty is that's what happens when you put a man that is insane. Like, I'm not trying to shame anybody, but the thing about being an artist is you need a little bit of insanity. You need a person that will take a dab of acid, do way too much ayahuasca, just way too much. And he makes Rick and Morty.
I agree.
Yeah. And it's
way to bring it back, by the way. Good shit, dude.
Oh, of course, Brad.
We were way off. yeah, I think as an artist and as a fucking entrepreneur, see, entrepreneur is another game, right? That's not even the same as an artist. That's another. So to be both of those things, like, bro, yeah, you have to be a fucking, you got to dial that shit in. I know plenty of entrepreneurs and we're all kind of crazy because it's like, we're living this life that's like so fucking hard to make it. And then it's like an artist too.
It's the opposite of what you're supposed to do, you know, because they don't want you to do this. No, you do this, it's like they don't have any control of you. They can't control your time. Yeah.
That word, control, that was the word I was going to use. They want to control you. It's so much easier to control a population when they don't think for themselves. But entrepreneurs, artists, we see that shit and we're like, we see that shit through. However, here's my knock on artists, because I'm hard on artists.
Right? Oh boy.
On the community. My knock is like, we're too negative on ourselves. We're too limiting beliefy, too much limiting beliefs, too much blame, too much casting control on others, too much blaming.
Limited beliefy sounds like a deli meat, you know?
Yeah, it does kind of like a sandwich.
It does. Oh my God, bro.
Like, it's like, yeah, we're just too much on like casting.
Well, that I think that attitude kind of comes from the past. You know, there was this attitude of artists were sometimes people that were starving in their early 20s, doing hard drugs on the roads, just trying to get from gig to gig. But times have changed. Times have changed real hard. And like I said, you can be a successful artist and be financially well kept. I mean, sometimes it can be paycheck to paycheck, but you have to understand that if you want to be free and you want to be able to have more control of your life, because let me be real with you. I don't want to be 65 and retire. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's the worst thing that you could ever do to somebody. I've seen it. It's horrible. This whole 65 retirement, because like we are in an age where people should be able to be 65 and be able to pick up 50 pounds. You know how I know this? Because my dad passed away at 63, but he was in his 60s and he was picking well over 185 pounds. So don't give me that, like, you're older. bullshit my ass. Come on, man. It's fucking 2023. Like, you told me that shit fucking back in the 50s when they didn't even know what syphilis was, you know? But can't give that kind of bullshit excuses anymore. Come on.
I agree with you. I'm right there with you, man. You're preaching. I mean, you know what? My dad and I share very similar thoughts. Like my dad is 72. This fucker's in great shape. He's fucking lifting weights every day. Not super heavy, but he's doing his thing. Fucking works out twice a day. My dad's a fucking athlete. You know what I'm saying? He's a fucking athlete and he's a fucking farmer. Not really. Like, we live in the burbs, but like, he treats our suburban house like a fucking farm. And my mom too, right? Like, they're savages in the gym. And it's like, no one would know that they were in their 70s. And it's because they're fucking, they work out and they exercise. And my dad taught me a really valuable lesson. My dad said, fuck retirement, basically. He didn't say those words, but he's like, he's not into that. And he's like, God's greatest gift to man was work. You take work out of a man, he ain't a man. Because men want to work. We want to feel fulfilled. We want to accomplish things and build. This idea of retirement, it's the same thing you just said about the control. They want you to race to that finish line because then you don't work and you feel less fulfilled and now it's easier to control you.
Right. And like the thought of if you're 85 and you're working and doing something you love, like pottery or cooking, like you see this all the time where people in their 80s, like even in Asian countries like Korea and Japan, and they're still working. Because they love it. They love to talk with the people, make the food, go out and do. But you're right. It's all about like mindset. You know, it's where I think this is where we as a generation kind of see things differently now. It's like, why are you waiting till 65? Start now.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm 30. So what? You got a whole life ahead of you. I'm 50. You got a whole life ahead of you. You know, this whole attitude like, oh, my life is over.
Stupid. It's actually just an excuse. They're just being soft. I know because I'm 30 and I talk to my friends. Not all my friends are soft, but other people who are like, 30 is so old. I'm like, yeah, it's old because you're old. You know,
it was,
it's like,
old 2,000 years ago because people didn't make it past 30.
Exactly. Yeah, no, that's a good point. Like, people were dying young.
Right. Like, that does, again, cause, but, bro, it's like, just like with the advancements of AI and technology, same thing with medical advancements. These ideas, these thoughts, these processes, they don't exist anymore. They don't make any sense anymore. It's like, why are you working harder when you can be doing something? Yes, it takes more time and there's more energy and there's a lot of shit that goes with it, dude. Oh my God. It's exhausting. It's so fucking exhausting. But
yeah, I'm happy to be 30. I mean, I told everybody how excited I was to be 30. My 20s were great and I fucking loved my 20s, but I was really grinding and I wasn't financially stable and anything. And I was just like, it was great. It was developing my skills and I was just grinding my ass off. But now I'm like 30. And I'm looking at the next 10 years like, oh, wow, that's going to be crazy. And I was talking to the kid who I coach, who I referred to earlier. He just turned 14.
Wow, it's been a year.
Yeah, and he feels old.
Oh, God.
Not like he feels old, but he feels like, dude, I'm getting – he can tell. He's like, dude, I feel like I'm getting – he's just like, I feel like I'm getting older. Like, I started coaching him when he was 12. That's a big jump, that 12 to 14, because when you're 12, you are a fucking kid. When you're 14, you're like, you're not really a kid.
Yeah, not really.
You got armpit hair, you're getting acne, you're like starting to get boners and shit. Like, shit's going different.
Like, there's a lot of things going on in the gym. It's like, hey, Johnny, like, what's going on with your shorts? Everything okay?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Yeah. It's like, so the kid's fucking, he just knows it. But then he's like, you just turned 30, right? I'm like, yeah. He's like, what's it like being 30? I was like, I can tell you what it's like for me to be 30. It's different than what most people, because I'm fucking balling right now. And most 30-year-olds are not fucking balling. They're sad sacks of shit. They don't know what the fuck they're doing with their life.
Well, I was talking with a friend of mine, and we were talking about this. Like, for example, my brother, he is, I think he's 40. He doesn't look 40, but I always tell him he's 36. But he runs a very successful automotive electronics company in California, in Los Angeles. Okay. It's called Max Tippem Rebuilders. And he kind of has taken a similar, very different path than I have, you know, kind of working the grind throughout your 20s. And now he is successful. He has two kids. He has a successful business. And he's able to live the best version of his life by his rules, because it's his company. You know, it's his family. It's his house. And getting to that point, like you said, a lot of people don't get there at 40. And it's not about like, oh my God, I missed my 20s. What do I do? Like, you still start at 30.
What are you supposed to do? Live in the fucking past your whole fucking life, you idiot? Move the fuck on, bro.
I love it.
Like, how fuck? No, like, shit, real shit, bro. How the fuck long do you want to sit in the fucking past and talk about high school and talk about your fucking 20s, bitch? Shut the fuck up. Move on, bro.
I know.
Go, dude.
It's also remembering, like, you have ups and downs, too. Like, it's never going to be stable forever. You're always going to have points where sometimes the lows are not as big as other lows, but they happen, you know, and it's the way that you deal with them. Like I was telling you earlier, going from no corporate job is a lot because they have that whole, you know, beautiful little cushion, you know, make sure your brain doesn't fucking explode into 1,000 pieces. Now make sure you're okay when you're not. So when you're out of that, you're like, holy shit, how do I survive now? What do I do? And the funny thing is, I've worked in the food industry for 6.5 years. I've been an artist for about 6 years myself, busting my ass, doing different project from project back and forth. So am I going to say that because of those situations, I should give up because I haven't reached where I want to get? What? I don't see the logic in that. I understand things can get difficult, but to what level are you going to go as an artist to strip yourself to the point where you're just... What? Nothing?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Yeah, I mean, kind of like a final point I'll make, and then I actually got to run, but...
Oh, sorry, dude.
No, you're good. We're doing great. But like, final thing, I want to touch on what you just said. I this year alone, so from September of 2022 to... Dude, September of 2022 till June, which was not even a year, right? I spent like $15,000 on coaching to learn how to build my business, right? And that's just in that time period. That's not including the other years, but just that. And I spent 15 grand on coaching that really did not work. Coaches that just wasn't right. Till I found my current mentor, Jeremy Pogue, at Summit Acquisition. He's the one who took me to the level I'm at now. And I wasn't cynical. I didn't say, oh, well, I've been burned in the past. It's like, and that doesn't have anything to do with Jeremy. Jeremy's still a fucking G. What does that have to do with you? So, and I'm so glad I wasn't, because me paying Jeremy is like, bro, it took me up there and it's great. And so, yeah, I would recommend, don't be fucking cynical. Like, just like you said, Dave, you know, you can't be like that.
No, you can't. Oof. Wow. It's almost been an hour. Jesus. Well,
yeah, it was an awesome interview, bro. I've been chilling and you just like jumped in. I'm like, cool, let's fucking rock.
Yeah. Well, I try to keep things casual, you know, kind of groovy.
I can tell.
Yeah. I mean, hey, you know, you gotta keep things fun. Question for you, for all the wonderful people that managed to get up here, where can they find your music, your content, your socials?
Yeah, yeah. Leezy the Gifted. Yeah, the tags. Yeah. Leezy the Gifted, LEEZY. The Gifted, it's all one word. You can find me everywhere. I'd say the best place to go is my YouTube channel. I'm dropping fucking gems on YouTube. So if you're like an artist and you're trying to like, you want to really produce your own music, you need to go to my fucking YouTube. I'm putting it out Like the real shit that I teach in my academy, which is like an expensive academy, you can fucking go on my YouTube and start learning some shit. I know a lot of YouTubers out there teach you how to do it. But the reason my channel is fucking better than theirs is because they're just showing you what they do just to like flex how they do shit. I'm actually really teaching people. I'm like, hey, I know where you're at. You're a vocalist here. I know what level of expertise you're at because that was there. I'm making this for you. So when people watch my videos, I know it's going to hit them. I know they're going to actually watch it and be able to go do something. So go check me out.
Which is important.
Huge. Yeah. And then connect with me on Instagram at Leezy the Gifted.
Ooh, perfect. So one name for everything.
Bro, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, like everywhere. But like, I don't really fuck with TikTok. Just go to YouTube and Instagram. Those are the places.
Oh, I don't blame you, man. I really don't. Well, listen, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on. And oh, yeah. If you want to check out more of the podcast, you know where to find us. We're on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube at Lost in the Groove Pod. So with that, we'll catch you on the next one. Love you. Bye.
Peace.
We're all about the artist. That is the whole purpose of this podcast, period. And you have a really valuable tool. You can share this with artists, people that are creative, someone that can enjoy this podcast and really enjoy the experience of Lost in the Groove. So with that, let's jump back to today's episode, shall we? Hey, it's Dave, and I quickly just wanted to jump in and say if you've been enjoying the podcast and enjoying this episode, if you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, that'll be so greatly appreciated. Because here's the thing. Someone might read that review and make the choice if they want to listen to the podcast. You get to help grow this podcast with us. How fucking cool is that? Let's jump back to today's episode.